All right. We're going back tonight again to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And we were in the fourth chapter last week, and I want to go just reiterate some things here. We were reading, and especially I want to look start again at verse 11. We're not going to go back to the beginning of the chapter where we started, but in verse 11 it says, "And he," speaking of Jesus Christ, "gave some to be apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And the purpose of those gifts are, is till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, it's really important. I mean, when I look back over my Christian walk, there are so many, really, ministry gifts that were really beneficial in my life of teaching. You know, I just think about being in Bible school, and I got to really sit under some awesome teachers that were really, really good, gave me, you know, gives you just, you know, people have different people, you know, have different revelation, and they minister this revelation into your life. You get to sit down and listen. One of the people, he's gone home to be with Jesus, is Mel Piper. Mel Piper was awesome on the subject of faith, but he was the first teacher. He taught a class was called Old Testament Men of Faith, and in that class, he went through different people in the Old Testament, and you know, really, it was the first time that I had ever heard somebody teach in the Old Testament that was just downright exciting. I mean, it was just because he showed the walk of people, walk of faith, I remember him saying it when he started off his teaching. He says, when you look in the Old Testament, he said, some things seem to look dark, but he said, you always have to stay on God's side. God is right. Stay on God's side. He said, many people, they read things and they start to question God. And he said, you start to do that, question God, is looking at God made a mistake. God doesn't seem to do what's right. He said, you'll always end up in darkness. And I often thought about that. I think there's a lot of Christians that they look at things, they begin to question God. And they, you know, they're looking as well, you know, God didn't do right. I've never seen anybody that tried to blame God or something ended up walking in more light. They always seem to go to more darkness. And I've always been so appreciative of people who taught the Word of God, who put things into you. It's like, if you had to learn everything yourself, I mean, I think about just the subject of faith. There's a lot that I know about Kenneth Hagin's life that generally probably that most individuals that ever listen to his teaching don't know about. There's things that, you know, that he talked about over the years and in school and stuff about things he's going through. That man went through some severely difficult times of dealing with stuff, learning about the faith, because he didn't have the opportunity of getting other people's books. Later in life, he found out there was people who taught certain things, but stuff was even out of publication, and he found somebody had an old book, and he got a hold of it. He said, my words, this guy's teaching what I taught. But if he could have had something like that given to him, years in the past, where it might have taken him to, but he had to learn all these things by himself. He didn't have nobody to teach him. Nobody around was teaching what he learned, and God showed him. And he used to always tell us in school, he said, if you listen to what I have to say and listen to what I teach you, he said, you won't have to go through things in life I went through. You won't have to go through them. And, you know, I learned over time, that's almost anything in life. If you learn from somebody who's going through some things, and you pay attention, you might not have to go through some things in your life. I remember him telling us in school, he said, I don't care if a guy's a Christian or not. He said, if he's 80 years old, he's lived long enough in the earth, he'd probably learn a few things, so pay attention. It is. I mean, if people, you learn through life of not having to go through things. You know, I often thought just with my parents, things that they taught us, that when I look at people, the untaught people today, like, dear God, no wonder people are so messed up, untaught. They didn't have anybody train them. They had untrained parents who taught them nothing. And it just goes on down the line. And so thank God when you're able to sit under some gifts. These gifts were given specifically by Jesus Christ to equip the church. And in verse 13 says, "For this purpose it was given till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." That word there is to be perfect, it's mature. "To the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ." And the purpose of the gifts are to mature the church. And in fact, coming over here, I was listening to an older Kenneth Hagin tape. Actually, it was one that he did years ago. It's actually a really old one because you could tell by they were using microphones and they didn't have these small microphones to hook up. They didn't have lavaliers or anything like that. So you could tell his voice would be sort of faded in and out as he moved from the microphone. And years ago, but he was talking about people maturing. And one of the greatest problems that many people come into the kingdom and never mature. They never develop or grow up. They don't. Is I remember Randall Greer. I mean, I always question about. I know from being in the minister and being around ministries and that stuff, and ministers, and you get around it. I was always shocked at like going to ministers' conferences and doing stuff and talking to ministers, and I would sort of think, man, you know, I need to grow up and I need to develop, and I get around ministers, and I found, man, loads of them are baby Christians. And loads of ministers never get above the adolescent Christian's point. They never get above it. They don't, and you can't take people any further than you are. You have to develop. You have to take people further. People can't get changed lives if yours didn't change. And and that's our whole point. And Kenneth Hagin was talking about that, about the fact of people over the years of. Sometimes in the areas of ministries, I've had people come along and say, you know, when I was a younger Christian, it seemed like, you know, things worked. He said, now, you know, things don't seem to work for me. I found there was a pattern, and Kenneth Hagin was talking about that. As people get older, they get more away from God than they get closer to God. And after a while, what they walked in when they were younger, they don't walk in anymore. They're not walking in it. I know loads of people. There are so many people that when I came in the kingdom back in the 80s, they were 10 times more spiritual than they are today. They get to a point where they think, well, I just know they don't go back to the Word like they did before, like then. They don't do those kinds of things. They think, you know, I'm pretty smart. I know now. And now they just, you know, are normal people just walking around in life and they don't realize spiritually. Then they come along and they need to hook up and they can't. They need to be able to stand and they can't stand. And they come and say, well, I don't understand. Well, I understand exactly. You know, it's like anything. You know, there's classes I had in high school and that stuff. Like if you asked me to sit down right now and do a trig, I wouldn't be so good at it. I have not used it in so long that I would. And that's anything's like that. You can't, you let your spiritual life go. You never stay where you're at. And it's just like, you know, I may have done well in calculus and trig when I was in school, but now, don't ask me to take the test. I'll fail it. Now, I passed the test then, but I haven't stayed with it since then. So, you know, we ain't going to be doing it. You don't stay at a spot unless you're using it and studying it and keep with it. It's not there anymore. And Christians need to understand that. It is the greatest danger as you go along as a Christian is you get lazy. That is the norm in Christianity. That's the norm. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to follow the norm. I never followed the norm. I ain't staying with the norm. I always knew that you had to stay with this thing. You have to stay on top of it. You can't let it go. Faith isn't something you had one time and it's just there all the time. You have to continue to refresh your faith. You have to continue to go back to the Word. You have to continue to do those things. And it takes work and labor at it. But the payoff's wonderful. The payoff is so good in life. And that's what, you know, it's like, what do you want to, labor through life like everybody else? You want to go through like everybody, or how do you determine you want to go through your life? See, some people, you know, they set their life, you know, there's certain things become their big things that they want and they desire, and that's the things of their goal. That's what they set their goals as. And they'll lay spiritual things aside. Christians do many times to go after certain goals, things that they want. And they spend, it's like anything, whatever you spend the most time doing is what you're going to be the best at. And I've seen a lot of Christians, they're good at sin. They must spend a lot of time at it. They perfected this stuff. But it's anything, and you. But you have to, whatever you want to do, you're going to have to spend time after that thing. And so, but the benefits, there's benefits to be reached concerning our Christian walk that you cannot get it any other way. There's no other way to have peace in time of trouble other than through the Christian, in perfecting in a Christian walk. There's no other way to do that. You can't, that will never happen. All things are not possible to everybody. It's all things are possible to him that believeth. If you don't maintain your faith, loads of things will be impossible for you, and you will have to accept whatever you can get or you can perform or somebody else can perform for you. That's what you're stuck with in life. And you have to decide, where do I want to set my boundaries? How far do I want to go with my boundaries? Do I want to limit myself, or how far do I want to go? What's the best way to make it work? And I found that the Christian walk is the best way. I lived in life. I tried my best to have fun and do that kind of stuff and have a good life. I was at the store today, and in front of me was a guy. He was checking out at the store, and you could tell he was untrained, a mess. He just couldn't remember one thing after the next to do what he had to do, and he's sitting around there. And he told the clerk how old he was. He said 62, and I would have guessed way over 62. I'm looking at him, and he's talking about, yeah, he said, Lebanon. He said, I got kicked out of this town already. He said, they said, set a party too hard. He said, I'm going to have fun in life. And I thought, yeah, you're really having fun in life. You're here. You're so messed up. You don't know what's going on. You don't know coming nor going. But you know what? I felt sorry because I know what it is to live to try to have fun in life. And you're heading on a road, and he made all these decisions in his life. And now he's here stuck with these decisions. And it isn't something you just turn around instantly. He's going to have to, and especially, you have to learn and train yourself. And he said, I'm going to have fun. I'm doing my thing. I'm going my way. And I thought, ooh, it ain't going to work out well for you. It's not going to work out well. Life ain't going good for them, and he don't even notice. He doesn't even notice. I mean, I got to the point I noticed things weren't going well. I got to the point I noticed things weren't going good. It is bad when things are going bad and you don't notice. I'm around Christians all the time and see that. I know things are going bad. I know it's going south quick, and they don't even notice. And see, that's what happens. And this is the beauty, because, you know, all of us at times we miss it in things. But if you keep yourself spiritual, you'll catch things. You'll eventually catch. And if you do miss it, you'll know how to get back on track. But if you mess around and mess around for years, you're not going to correct overnight. There's things that I've messed up and I corrected overnight. I got back on track spiritually. I knew what to do. But if you spent 10 years not paying any attention, I'm going to tell you what, it'll take you 5 years to get back on track. But everybody wants, give me a prayer, a fix, you know, that's going to, and it don't. It don't work that way. Spiritual growth is like physical development. You know, if you let a child never train them, and they live to be 20 years old, never trained, you know, now try to develop that child. Figure out how it's going to work. You got your hands full. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to say a little prayer and change that. So one of the things is gaining knowledge. It takes time to gain knowledge of things. It takes time to learn how to do stuff. It takes time. And so know about that. The more you develop, the faster you can go along. The more you develop, the quicker you will learn how to apply things and do stuff. When I first started out, it seemed so long to go from point A to B. Now, I can jump from thing to thing, get a revelation and know how to put it in place because of all that slowly putting things in yourself over time. People do the same thing in on their jobs and the things that people learn. As they learn over time and you learn, something comes along, a change comes, you can shift and do it. The people that are just learning, everything's a mess. You know, everything's trying to get all that in order. And you can change things quickly. It's the same thing spiritually. That's why you always want to keep yourself, because if things come along, you can hook into it easily and keep yourself moving along. And so do that. When you don't, you know, drop back, you know, it's like... Now, I didn't have any trouble. When I went to Bible school, had been years out of high school and that stuff and things. And I mean, when I was in the high school and I was in the service, I went through a lot of schools in the service. I went through loads of different schools they sent me to in electronics and stuff. And even when I was in Vietnam, they would send me to places because new equipment would come in and we'd go to school and stuff. So I knew about education-wise, but going to Bible school is a big shift. And I watched people come in, and they hadn't been in school for a long time. and Bible school was very easy. I got into it, and I'm just learning, and again, note-taking and doing stuff was just, I didn't have any problem with it. But there was one thing. I was always a person who took time to learn things. I never got myself where, you know, something would come along new. And I remember, you know, when the computer started and everybody started complaining and griping and moaning instead of learning. And I thought, it's here and it's going to get big and it's going to go. You know, be smart. Get into it. Learn this stuff. So I started learning about it. I started learning what was going on with it. And so me going to Bible school was very easy. But it was hard for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that they weren't studious when they were school. And they were still young, but they really in many ways weren't teachable. They were terrible students. They didn't take notes well. They didn't do things. They hadn't done that in life. You know, be a person. Be attentive. Learn to do things. Learn to learn. Did you ever think about Jesus teaching people? One thing, you know, this is what, you know, people talk about Jesus. You know, most Christians and most ministers don't even know Jesus. They have these nice little packages that they got of what Jesus looked like. Did you ever sit down and read the Gospels and Jesus would tell a parable and he said he told the parable so they didn't know, so they wouldn't understand? Say, well, why do you do that? It's fine. I've never heard preachers talk about this. You know, they don't ever talk about this stuff. You know, sometimes I know this. I know this, that God has me say things that I know some people, it's going to stump them, and that's the whole purpose that was said. Now, should I tell you why? Why does God do that? God will do things and not make it easy for you to understand. Because he wants to push you to the point for you to decide you're going to go to find out what it meant. Jesus told the parable of the sowers, and it says this. His disciples come to him and ask him, what's this parable about? See, disciples, you know what a disciple is? It's a follower. Most Christians are not followers of Christ. Most ministers are not followers of Christ. They only learn what's easy to learn. You can't be, you'll never go far in your Christian walk being a person who only gleans what's easy to learn. God will put things out where he has to pressure you to dig to something. To go after it, to do that. That's why I'm going to buy, seek and you shall find. You know what that word seek means? To look for something as it is lost. I always hear these Christians, well, you know, the Lord said just keep seeking and you'll find and all that. And they say it very casually. People usually say that are people who will never do that. They will never do it. They think having a daily reading in the Bible is seeking. You know, sometimes seeking, I had to find, and I looked around. I asked God to get me. I said, Lord, there's somebody's out here who's taught in some of these subjects somewhere. I need some revelation that somebody, some you gave to somebody. Somebody could teach me something. It's amazing. Over time, I'd find somebody. I'd come along and hear a sermon or something preached from somebody. But keep looking around for it. I'd say, you know, there's got to be a decent book on this subject. There's got to be something. Somebody has a revelation. You know, because you can sit down and read the Bible, but it's sort of good if somebody has some understanding, but you're going to have to search for things to find stuff. And over time, I've learned to search things and find things. I'm much better now at even finding things in the Bible, getting a hold of it, finding where it's at, and stuff that I can get a hold of that I can begin to see stuff, I can get revelation. But is understand is God is pushing people. The disciples would come and ask Jesus, and Jesus said, I spoke in parables to those people because I didn't want them to understand. Why? If you're not going to search after it, there's no point. There's no point to casting pearls to swine. There are people that you're going to find in your life that you're going to run into that they want everything handed to them on a nice little platter that's easy, that they don't have to do nothing. And they want to walk where you walk. They want to know God like you do. It will never happen. That will never take place. I learned from listening to what people did to go somewhere in God, and I came to a great conclusion. I'm going to probably have to do what they do to get there. You know, it's going to take labor, and it's going to take time. And so is understand that. And it turns around, is following. And I found out it's just be a follower. Revelation has a lot to do with that. That's why many people are limited on revelation from God. And this is one of the great blessings, you know, back in the early 80s, in the late 70s and early 80s, especially, the teaching ministries got very powerful. People, it was a commonplace, very common. People were constantly going to seminars and things and stuff. They were going to for a week at a time and sitting down in three or four services a day and listening to teaching and ministry. Today, people hardly do that at all. That's why people back then were going so fast and moving ahead so fast. You can't move ahead fast, number one. If the gifts are put in the body for us to grow and spirit and develop, then it would be best to take the time. That's why I go to Randall Greer's meetings. That's why I make so many of them a year I go to. I put out a lot of money over the years getting ourselves to do that. But the benefit of it, of doing that, of taking the time and going to meetings and sitting down and listening to gift minister. There's things that you will get. There's things that you will never get through your own reading and your own development of the Word. If you can, what's the point of the gifts? I learned a long time ago, there's revelations that come through the gift, and you're not going to get it any other way. You're going to have to sit down and hear it. And people don't want to do that today. People don't want to take the time to do that. They want to find another way to make it work. There's not another way to make it work. So I guess one of the things, though, many of Kenneth Hagin's teachings and stuff and things, I listen to them over and over again. I have loads of Randall Greer stuff. I just listen to it over and over and over and over and over again. I listen to it. I constantly get revelations of things that I've listened to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and all of a sudden I'm listening to it for probably the 137th time, and all of a sudden, bang, a light goes on. Man, I've heard that so many times, but, the light goes on. If I wouldn't have listened, the light wouldn't have went on. It was something that he was saying, another person was saying with the anointing on them that spoke to me. And if you know, we have this idea today that, well, we don't have to do that. We somehow can, this day and age, we don't have to do things. There's another thing is, let me just say this, concerning the anointing. There's certain things with the anointing will never pass on to you till you sit in the meeting with the minister. You can't get it from television. You can't get it from listening to tapes and say you won't get it. There's things that you'll have to be in that meeting where the presence of that anointing is. That's just the way it is. And so you take time to do that. You know, I listen to all of Brother Hagin's tapes and everything else, but 1983, the Lord told me, I want you to go to camp meeting because there's anointing I want you to receive. When 1983, I went to camp meeting, the teaching anointing came on me. If I wouldn't have went there, it wouldn't have. The Lord had prepared me for about 6 months about going there. Talked to me about getting the anointing and everything. I'll never forget, God was just really dealing me a lot with about the anointing. And then a friend of mine came along and handed me a series of tapes at that time of a minister dealing with the anointing. He walks up and hands, you know. God seemed to always work. Yeah, here's one thing you'll find is if you start moving in the direction that God is speaking you to, if you'll start to move in a direction, you find over time that things come along as a witness to you about what God's doing. And that's what I always find. It's just like a guy came and handed me a set of tapes on the anointing. I thought, okay, Lord, I get it. I get what you're talking about. I know what you're saying. I know what you're trying to do. And I went to those meetings, and the teaching anointing came on me at those meetings. But he didn't say I couldn't set it at home. Why? Some people think, well, why couldn't he do it at home? I don't know. You talk to him about it. This is one thing: as people get over and begin to question God, well, couldn't he do it this way or that way? It's none of our business. You're not going to go anywhere if you don't learn obedience. Me sitting around saying, well, God, why can't you do it here? You know what it done for me? Absolutely nothing. I wouldn't have ended up having the anointing. I'd have been in disobedience. He said, go there. And it was one of the things about going there at the time he told me to go there. I didn't have the money to go, but he said go, and so I was going to go, you know, whether you have the money or, you know, or it looks like you have the money or not. But once I set myself in the direction to go, a guy came along, paid for my airfare out there and everything, and paid for my hotel room. I just set myself to go. I was going to go, and set myself to do it. So there's a lot of things that you learn through doing this kind of stuff. If you don't do these things, if you don't learn to be obedient in these areas, you don't get these experiences with God. You don't learn how to, the number one thing is learning to be obedient to God, because of the blessing that goes with obedience. The blessing is phenomenal. Most people all want to see the blessings. When you give me all the blessings, I'll do what you want. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work like that way. We go ahead and follow God. And thank God for, we'll never get away from these meetings. One of the things he says here about these gifts, he said these gifts were to equip the people. You know what equipping is? Equipping is not just teaching. Equipping has to do with anointings. I was not equipped to the ministry just by learning. The anointing came on me from Kenneth E. Hagin. And you know what? 99.9% of people are going to receive the anointing that God wants them to have from somebody else. They're not going to receive it. Don't just fall out of heaven. You receive it from somebody else. So one of the things is, I did this following with Brother Hagin when Randall Greer come along and attending his meetings. Brother Randy laid hands on me a number of times, and I'm going to tell you what, changed my life. It changed my life. An impartation from him, God anointed him, and he passes that on to others. And that's the way it comes. People need to understand this. That's why sometimes an anointing will come, just like with Kenneth Hagin's teaching anointing. Kenneth Hagin never laid hands on me. That anointing just dropped on me in his meeting. It dropped on me. But I had to be there. And understand that. Equipping is not just an educational. See, most people, they think, oh, they get educated. I am tired of running into educated Christians with no anointings. I've had that up to here. Know-it-alls that can't do a thing. You want the anointing. Our genius ain't good enough. You need the anointing of God, and He wants to anoint you. He desires to put a greater anointing. We're not going to fulfill this last day move of God on our genius. I'm just telling you that. Because it would amount to nothing. We need an anointing that is great, so much greater than intellect, much greater than the human ability. We learn in all this obedience that we learn in these small things or the things that open the door. The guy who's faithful with a little, what happens to that person? He's ruler over much. See, my faithfulness just to go to those meetings, to spend $1,000, $2,000 here or there. You know, if you want $1 million, why would God want to ever give to $1 million to anybody that wouldn't sacrifice a couple thousand? People don't get it, what it's about. They want to step into something. They want to have something. Then I'll do something. And that's the way we're faithful with a little bit. Faithful with don't seem. Just, he tells me to go to a meeting. Just going to that meeting. You know, I knew when he hooked up with Randy Greer, I need to go and I need to sit under Randy. I need to take time out and go sit under Randy and listen to him teach. I need to do that a number of times a year. I need to go sit down. I need him to lay his hand on my head every once in a while. My head needs something. And I need to lay his hand on my head and give me something. Dear God. But you need it. And it has helped me so much. And that's why there's ministry gifts and they can impart things. They don't give them because they're geniuses. See, why does God choose them? I don't know and I don't even care. I just want to get it. Everybody's so full of questions that are stupid. It don't matter how or why he does what he does. I just want to know what he's going to do it and what he's going to do, and I want to be there and get it when it's coming. That's what I want to know. If people would spend the time with that, I want to be in the middle of what God's doing. I don't have time to sit around and question why he does it this way. I don't even care. He's not going to change what he does because Ed said something. He's going to say, Ed, shut up. Okay. All right. It's time to go. But I really felt led the Holy Spirit to talk about these things because we're moving into a really important time. We're moving into a really important place. And these things, just learn to be obedient. Little things. You sense God's putting in your heart to do something? Move in that direction. Just follow in that direction. Don't be afraid to miss it. God ain't going to shoot you in the leg because you missed it. It's not going to happen. I'm serious. The worst thing you can do is you can get afraid you're going to miss it. If fear comes, you get fear because you think you're going to miss it, you're yielding to the devil. God ain't gonna, God knows when we step out into things, the time we're going to miss it. He knows that. And it's amazing what he has done just because I have been just, I'm wanting to follow what he wants to do. Even when I've messed things up, he's blessed me because of my intent. My intent was not to miss it. I'm learning. I want to follow him. I want to do things. Learn to do that. It'll be a great blessing to you. Don't be afraid. Say, yeah, you missed it. So what? Join the club. My words. You know, one of the things that I remember some Christians had a hard time when I first came in the kingdom, God would send people sometimes, and he would send me even people, and you'd go witness to people, and you feel God's telling you to go see someone, and you think you're going to go minister something to them, and they don't want to have nothing to do with it. And you think, oh, I missed it. And I remember one time getting over into that area and that stuff and dealing with an individual. And after that was over, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, I sent you to them, and he said, I knew they were going to listen to you. But he said, they're going to stand in front of me one day, and he said, they're going to answer for not listening to you. He said, I didn't send you to them because I knew that they were going to listen. You know, God will have you preach the gospel to people who will not accept Jesus. But he will send somebody to tell them about Jesus. He knows full well they're going to reject it. But they will never be able to say, nobody told me. I've done even like with believers. They're believers, but God wants to bless their life and sent me to talk to them. I think I've had people reject him. And he said, you know, they're going to stand for me one day, and I'm going to tell them, you know, the problem you've had in your life? You asked me for an answer. I sent you the answer, and you threw it out. You threw the answer out. You didn't want to hear the answer. And so God sends us many times. Over the years, I got sent many times to people that didn't want to hear it. Nothing wrong with you. You run into people, you try to bless them, they'd rather have a curse. You know, some people are just like that. But it's the whole thing is learn to be obedient. Don't take everything personal, something's wrong with you, because what you thought ought to work or ought to do. God sent me to minister to people ready. He wanted to heal them. He wanted to deliver them. I've been in people's presence where the healing anointing was on me and they wouldn't cooperate with it. They could have been healed. But I learned, it has nothing to do with me. It ain't got a thing to do with me. I don't feel bad from the standpoint of, oh, Ed, you know, maybe you should have done this. Maybe I should. When I walk away and leave, I don't even think twice about it. That's border over the bridge. I went there and gave them the offer. We give them the offer and some people turn it down. Hallelujah. So don't get over into things that start second-guessing yourself and doing all that kind of stuff. Just learn obedience. God will bless you. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, it'll pay off in your life. Glory to God. Kenneth Hagin said, God doesn't always pay every Friday, but when he does, it's good. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this opportunity to Lord God, concerning your word and concerning obeying and following you. I'm just so appreciative, and I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you for all the people, the men and women, Lord God, that you anointed, that have spoken into my life in the past, Lord God, and helped me along this way. Where would we be without them? And Lord God, I thank you for the people, many of them who even died and gone, and I just got their books and the revelations that they left in this earth. Hallelujah. What a blessing. And I just appreciate it, Lord God, to helping us along the way. But Lord God, Lord, we want to also help people along the way. We want to, Lord God, do what others did for us. We want to pass on this great heritage that we have. Hallelujah. This glory that we have. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, you are preparing and working in us. You're getting us ready for the return of Jesus Christ and the greatest anointing that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever had or known. And we thank you, Lord God. We will be participants in it. Glory to God. We will be working and flowing in this thing. And Lord God, it's everything that we have dreamed or even thought we even couldn't dream. Hallelujah. That it will come to pass in these last days, and we will get the opportunity to walk and live in it. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.